The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Joseph Prince Ministries. Today with Joseph Prince.
The Lord is your righteousness. You are still you, I am still I, but the Lord is my righteousness. Which means that Jesus is my righteousness. God looks at me as if I have A+ for law keeping. So the shepherds, the context tells us, the shepherd is feeding them grace. He's feeding them the revelation of his righteousness, not their righteousness. Salvation is nothing more than consent to be saved. David knew this truth. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, all these are pictures of the shepherd and the sheep. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. He saw himself as a sheep, watched over, being led, being taken care of. Goodness and mercy hunting him down. Jesus' last words to Peter, one of the last words before he ascended was this: feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray in the context of, by his stripes we are healed. But now you're returned to the shepherd. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Look up here at John 10. Then Jesus said to them again, let's go down to verse 10. All right? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I want to tell you something. When the Lord Jesus said these words, he was talking to the Jewish people of his day, and he was telling them that the thief, and here he makes the thief a singular expression as the devil. But what does the devil do? The thief comes to steal. Every time you have your joy stolen, you have your health stolen, you have your good relationship stolen, you have your children stolen, you have even your goods stolen, whatever it is, it's never, never God. I said it's never, never God. We're not here to peddle to the denominational beliefs or some groups of people who say things like, oh, the day of miracles is over, all right? There's never been a day of miracles. It's always a God of miracles, all right? And he's not over. Amen? So we want to know that God wants you to be well. He wants you healthy. He wants you enjoying what Jesus calls the life more abundant. So the thief comes to do all this, but Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So man was created to enjoy life. Man was created to enjoy everything that God has provided. Amen. And then Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life, gives his life for the sheep. Amen. And for a long time, when I know about this verse, that anything that steals your health, steals your joy, steals your peace, steals your relationships, steals your children, steals your well-being, it's not God, it is the devil. Okay? And God says in 3 John 2 that, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, many a times when I read this verse, I think that it's just expressing the desire of God's heart. And that's important. We need to know that God wants you well. I said that God wants you to prosper and be well. Amen. It says very clearly that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Amen. God's word is God's will. But this verse says more than that. This verse says, John is writing to the well-beloved Gaius, and he's saying to Gaius, he's expressing God's desire. He says, Gaius, he says that, I pray that you prosper in everything, in all things, and be in health. He's praying that the one he's writing to be in health. Now, this is what I want to enforce real strong to all of you today. Many times people say, well, you know, it's God's will for us to be healthy. It's God's will for us. It will happen. No, you got to pray that it happens. But if it's God's will, Pastor Prince, why should I pray? Well, God's ordained way is that you pray. You pray whatever is in the heavenly realm, where all the supply is, comes into the manifested earth realm. Prosper in the Greek is in the passive voice. Be in health in the Greek is in the active voice. Now, why am I saying this? You know it's passive and active, right? Passive means what? You are the one receiving. Active means you are the one giving or doing, right? But prosper is in the passive voice, which means when your soul is prospering, many a times you see people prospering outside in their vocation, in their business, in their ministry, and things like that. But health seems to be a challenge. Why? Because health is active. Doesn't happen automatically. You got to pray for it to happen. Are you listening, people? Now, something else about this. Just as your soul prospers. Why is John is praying for Gaius, and why is it that Gaius, he knows for sure Gaius' soul is prospering? Because Gaius believed the gospel of grace. How do I know? Next verse. Context. Always context. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Walking in the truth is walking in the gospel. I'm going to prove that to you. Let's go to an incident in the life of Peter and Paul and Mary. No, not Mary. Peter and Paul. Okay. Peter and Paul. At one time, how many know that Peter was saved before Paul? Paul was saved after Jesus died and rose again. In fact, the first encounter with Jesus is Jesus at the Father's right hand for Paul. And yet there came a time in Peter's life that Paul had to rebuke Peter. Wow. Watch this. Galatians from the New Living Translation. When Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When Peter first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Next verse. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. It was just over a meal. And yet, Paul saw it as not following the truth of the gospel. Okay, I tell you the original Greek word for this, not following. The old King James has it right. The old King James says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, then he said he rebuked Peter. Now, the Greek word is autopedos. Walk not uprightly is autopedos, where we get our English word autopedic. And the word autopedic, auto means stand straight. Pedos is from the word foot, walking. Walking straight, literally. So, what happened was this. I saw, literally, King James is right. They walked not in the truth. He did not walk according to grace. And the Bible says that in Psalms, no good thing will God withhold from those that walk uprightly. Back then, it was under law. Under grace, what is walking according to the truth? Believe grace. Walk in the grace of God. Are you listening, people? All right, are you learning? All right, let's go back to 3 John again. So, 3 John. Now, what is walking in the truth? Believing the gospel. Guess what? You will start to prosper. I'm going to show you something else. There's a revelation, fresh revelation that God gave me during my time of study. I'm going to share this with you. And God said to me, for the lack of this revelation, my body is sick. My body of Christ, the body is sick, he said. This revelation is amazing when God shared it to me. I never heard anyone preach this or read it anywhere. First, I'm going to show you Isaiah 53. Okay, go to Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, Christ. And by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep. All we like what? So immediately after, by his stripes, we are healed. He says what? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So watch this comparative scripture now. Right after, by his stripes we are healed, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, right? Now watch this. For you were like sheep going astray, just like Isaiah 53, except for this difference. But you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And the Lord said this to me, the day the church see me as a shepherd, not just know in their head, really experience me as a shepherd, their days of sickness is over. We were like sheep going astray. That's why we are sick. But now we are no more sheep going astray. We have now returned. I'm going to show you right now how we read the Bible, right? We have now what? Returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls, our overseer of our souls. You know how we read it? You see, Pastor Prince, you still must return to the shepherd. You still must return to the shepherd. It's still on you, no? I'll show you right now that the Greek word returned is not active. It's not you doing it. It is you being returned. It's passive. The voice there in the Greek is passive. You have now been returned to the shepherd. You know who did it? The Holy Spirit. You see, when Jesus shared the parable of the lost sheep, he says a shepherd. How did a farmer come in? Anyway, a shepherd had 100 sheep. He lost one. He will leave the 99. And no shepherd does that, okay? Let me tell you this. No shepherd leaves 99 and look for the one that's lost. Except for one shepherd, the good shepherd. He leaves the 99 and looks for the one. So who looks? The shepherd looks. The shepherd found the sheep crying, cold, lonely, hungry. The shepherd took the sheep. The shepherd carried the sheep. So the sheep is resting on his strength. The shepherd brought the sheep home. The shepherd said, celebrate with me. What did the sheep do? This is not my story, by the way. It's a parable from Jesus. The shepherd did everything. What did we do? We did one thing. We allowed our... That's prayer. Another thing we did was that when he carried us and put us on his shoulders, we allowed ourselves to rest. Plong. That's what we did. You see, salvation is nothing more than consent to be saved. It's consenting to be saved. Consenting to be loved. David knew this truth. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. All these are pictures of the shepherd and the sheep. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. He saw himself as a sheep, watched over, being led, being taken care of. Goodness and mercy hunting him down. And he became a great shepherd. Jesus' last words to Peter, one of the last words before he ascended, was this. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray in the context of, by his stripes we are healed. But now you are returned to the shepherd of your soul. Live healed. Amen. I'm going to close with this. In Jeremiah 23, which is happening right now all over the world, there's a grace revolution on all over the world. And God says, this is a prophecy, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. I will share with you twofold, okay? One is what is happening in the prophecy around the world today. And then number two, your personal application. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Notice, out of all countries. That's happening in our day and age, people. God is bringing the Jewish people all over the world. They're all coming back to Israel. Whatever the reason is, God is fulfilling Bible prophecy. God's bringing them back to their land. This cannot happen in Jeremiah's day. They came back from one place only, Babylon. Here's the prophecy of our day out of all countries. The Jews are returning. Then God says, I will set up what? Shepherds. Shepherds over them. So this revelation of shepherd and sheep is going to become strong in these last days. And that's why sickness and all that, all right, will become a decreasing factor among God's people, because this shepherd revelation, I'll set up shepherds over them who will feed them. Feed them, not beat them. Feed them. I said feed them. You know the word shepherd and the word feed in the Hebrew is the same word? Raha. Raha. Real quick, Hebrew. Hebrew is like this. Raha. Hebrew reads from right to left, like Chinese, okay? Resh. Ain. Hey. Hey is our church symbol, right? Our icon. Our branding. We use hey because hey is a picture of grace. I've taught that in another sermon. I won't take time to tell you all this. Just a picture of grace. Raha, all right, is shepherd or feet. Same. They use the same word for shepherd and feet. Okay? Now watch this, watch this. What are we to feed on? Grace, right? Raha. Feed on grace. Now, remove the grace letter, the hey. Remove it. You know what this spells in Hebrew? Ra. Ra is evil. Without grace, you'll be feeding on evil. You know why people feed on evil? They feed on addictions. They feed on bondages. You know why? Even though they know it's harmful to them, they say they can stop it anytime. All right? They get more and more into bondage. Their hands tremble when they don't have it. You know, they don't live the life more abundant because they're not feeding on grace. When grace is not there, it's evil. Ra'ah. Go back to the prophecy, we're closing with that. I'll set up shepherds, the word ra'ah, over them, who will feed them, ra'ah, and they shall fear no more. Three things will happen when you're under anointed shepherding. All right? Three things will happen to people who sit under shepherding that's from God in these last days. They will fear no more, number one. Number two, nor be dismayed, no more discouraged. Number three, nor shall they be lacking. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Three things. No more fear, no more discouragement, no more lack. Whether it's lack for health, lack for supply, no more lack, says the Lord. So we see that the shepherd is feeding them. What is he feeding them? When will this happen? Next verse. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I'll raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign. This is talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. And prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Next verse. In his days, Judah will be safe. Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord what? Hey, you are not your own righteousness. You don't have to supply your own righteousness. You don't have to do your own. The Lord is your righteousness. You are still you. I am still I. But the Lord is my righteousness. Which means when Jesus is my righteousness, God looks at me as if I have A plus for law keeping. So the shepherds, the context tells us, the shepherd is feeding them grace. He's feeding them the revelation of his righteousness, not their righteousness. It's a gift. His righteousness is a gift. So it tells us what will happen when they are feeding on this. They'll fear no more, nor be discouraged, nor be lacking. It tells us what he's feeding them, the Lord our righteousness. Now it tells us when all this will happen. Next verse. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. Remember the one time, the story of Moses, the Ten Commandments and all that? The people of Israel say, God lives, who brought them out of Egypt. Well, those days are gone and no more, God says. Because now they'll say, as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country. You know what's the north country? Take a ruler, draw a straight line from Jerusalem all the way north. You will cut Russia. Specifically, you will cut the city of Moscow. And in the 80s, in our day and age, in our lifetime, we saw Jews, Russian Jews, coming back from the north. And now they're coming back from all the countries. God says, this is the time when you will see the grace revolution. Our set up shepherds who will feed what? The Lord, our righteousness revelation. Amen? They shall dwell in their own land. Church, this grace revolution we are enjoying has all been prophesied. It's not something that one church, one ministry is bigger than one church, bigger than one ministry. It is God's ministry. God is raising it. And God says, you will fear no more. Do you have fear in your life? Well, sit under a ministry of grace. Sit under good shepherding. Leaders, I know there's a lot of teaching on leadership. Think of yourself as a CEO. God says, think of yourself as a shepherd. There's teaching saying, think of yourself as a coach. God says, think of yourself as a shepherd. Don't allow the world's teaching to come in. You are a shepherd. You are a shepherd. And one last verse, Matthew 9. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. When Jesus saw people going astray, when he saw the people on the mountainside by the Sea of Galilee, he saw them. He didn't see them as rebellious. These people are just rebellious. These people have no heart for God. They deserve what's coming on them. Yes, no wonder they are sick and broke and miserable and depressed. Serve them right. He's not the kind of religious teacher. He saw them, you know what's the problem? He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And that's why he had compassion. He was moved with compassion for them. The world might not care, and the world doesn't care. God cares. And the way he sees you, no, he doesn't see you as rebellious. He sees you as a sheep going astray. And he's sending his Holy Spirit to bring you back. I don't believe anyone here or anyone watching by way of broadcast is watching by chance. God is drawing you. He's returning you to the shepherd of your soul. If that is you, just pray this prayer with me from your heart. No one looking around, just say this from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I don't believe it's by chance I'm listening to this message today. You love me, and it was your destiny for me to hear this word today. I thank you that in your love for me, you send your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for all my sins, and you raised him on the third day from the dead as a declaration that you have justified me. Thank you, Father. Jesus conquered death for me. Jesus Christ is alive. And Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I will not lack. And from now on, surely, goodness and mercy will hunt me down, will pursue me all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.